Year two, you did not meet him yesterday. He only came to this class. And I dropped the brief about him. Our brother is a missionary. So he coincided with the teaching of the missionary, which you have all gone through. He want to give us advice, counsel. Come from America, but has had a mandate to teach the gospel, especially in Africa. He has a mission that's a Swahili's name. Swahili is a language of a part of Kenya, South Africa, and other places in East Africa. And then he's from African America. So he loves Africa. So he's here in his home. And there's a pastor, he's a missionary. Will you hear him? Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the invitation, brother. And if you would open with me, please, into the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5.
Ephesians 5.
And I want to say off of the bat, I have not passed the class here, so if I speak a little bit differently and your pastor is teaching me, I hope you don't mark me too many points down.
No.
But Ephesians 5, I want to speak on the call of a missionary, on my call, and how was I called into this ministry? What does it take to preach of the gospel and to serve God?
What does it take to preach the gospel and to serve God? Put it down.
And we'll start our reading in Ephesians 5 at verse number 13 and 14 and bring our message from verse 14. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, or the light makes manifest. For what makes everything clear or manifest is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, wake up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So this text is part of my call to the ministry of the gospel. I was a failure in the ministry. I learned the message of the sovereign grace of God back in 1996 in America, up in California. I learned it from a man who preached it faithfully, and I grasped it with understanding and power. But I left my first love and became confident in my strength. And after 17 years of pastoring, I started young. I had a gift. I was just worn down. I married, and I realized I had married a person who did not believe anything I had taught. And what it did was it showed me my own weakness and failure. Out of all the people I could have chosen, I chose this one who would be the worst choice. Some things, some situations happened. We never lived in the same house. But the Lord used that to teach me that I was a sinner. And He used it to bring me out of the ministry. I remember praying, Lord, take this out of my heart. I no longer want to preach the gospel. I was pastoring a church. We had another church plant. I was preaching 5 days a week. And I got tired of the persecution. In the Bay Area, there are no Christians. It's just a few. You know, people don't even go to church. Here, if you're a pastor, you're esteemed. There, they hate you and look down on you. So it was pressure, and I got tired of the pressure. And when you're carrying the burden yourself, it will break you, whether you know it or not. You can't win. It's impossible. And so I quit the ministry. I was telling the pastor this. I was not ever going to preach again. I was going to make money. I was going to enjoy myself. I was going to see how much sin could I get into and stay out of hell. And I remember it was on a Friday night. And for a rare time, I got drunk in public. And I lived, you know, pretty close as to where the bar was. Don't quite know how I staggered home. But on Saturday morning, do you know what happened to me? I woke up convicted of my sin. Now, I tell this story and I say that if you're not convicted of your sin, like the pastor was said, if a person is spiritually dead, you can preach, you can yell, you can scream, you can weep. They ain't coming to Christ. It takes a work of God. But on that Saturday morning, I woke up with a headache, but more so with a heartache from conviction from God that, this is not me. Even though I'm tired of preaching, I'm not tired of being a Christian. I'm not this. I don't want to go back to this. And then on Sunday, after spending some time in prayer on Saturday, I was at church early. And in my rebellion, I didn't used to attend early. I was angry at God. I had preached for many years, only to fail, only to have the things I had dreamed of not come to pass. And I was frustrated, but this Sunday I was there early. And I remember reading, it was on my phone. I refused to even have a Bible. I just used the Bible at church. My other Bible, I had lost it. I was bad. I'd only pray at my mealtime. I tried to drown myself in watching movies. And worse, pornography, worse. You say, he's not a Christian. I was. I knew the gospel. I believed the gospel. I preached the gospel. I loved the gospel. But I was overpowered and in a war. But that Sunday morning, I was reading Titus 2. And from that text, it gave me a choice. I could either be all in for Christ and live my life for His glory to bring other people to Him, or I could risk my eternal soul in hell. I could roll the dice. But from the bitterness of that sin the previous day, it occurred. I did not want to live in fear of God, of the judgment, of Him coming to send me in hell to catch me unawares. It's not worth it, I said. So I said, okay, I will be all in for you. Even though I'm not preaching, I will carry the pastor's Bible. I will be there at every sermon, every service. I will live my life at my job to bring glory unto God. And there was some joy in my heart. And then on Monday, it moved into consecration. Because you cannot live the Christian life on your own. Don't even try it. It's a waste of time. The devil is too strong for you. And I knew it by my own oppression over those years. My failure had taught me something. And so on my way into work, I think I was the first one in the office. I got down and I prayed to God. And it seemed like for the first time in a long time I had been heard. It seemed like I prayed this prayer, Pastor, 1,000 times. Help me. Make me overcome this sin. Lord, I give myself to you. I knew His blood would cleanse me from that sin.
Amen.
I knew his power would help me obey. And I was consecrated. Now, I was in fasting. I wasn't watching any television. I wasn't doing anything because I wanted him. I wanted to overcome. I wanted to honor him. On Tuesday, something surprised me. The joy I had lost 15 years earlier when I left my first love, and I, you know what deceived me, Pastor? Preaching.
Preaching.
I wanted to be a great preacher, and I thought I could do it on my own. I actually thought, as the Holy Spirit withdrew himself over a pretty minor infraction, but it wasn't the infraction. It was not the fact I chose to listen to a man instead of God. It was that I refused to repent and to go back to God as helpless. And you catch my meaning? It isn't that what I did was so bad. It's a mistake. But I thought, even though the Spirit of God has departed, I have enough knowledge and zeal. I'm an athlete. I was an ex-athlete. I can work all day. But no, without that passion, that first love, that joy of the gospel, you're helpless. You're worthless. The devil will take you down. But that Tuesday, the joy, and all of a sudden, Pastor, I began to just, it became to come out of my mouth, the gospel. It was not planned, but I was with a particular man that had helped me out, and I was his friend, this is a brother, and I'm sitting with him in the car, and the gospel is just bubbling up, and I'm laughing, and I'm thinking, I don't even care if he thinks I'm crazy. This is the happiest I've ever been. Then something strange, it happened on Wednesday. I was not expecting this. God called me to preach. And you know what I said? What'd I say? Well, that's what I said now. But this was only 3 years ago. You know what I said then? No way. Not me. I've already tried that. I've already gone up that hill. It's heat both ways. It's the wind in your face. It's a howling wilderness. It's a storm. I'm not doing that ever again. And he began to show me that my sins and the failures and the things I had committed wrongly were all forgiven. And every excuse I had, I'm too weak, I'm a failure, I'll fail again, I'll start strong, but then I'll come tumbling down. Everything I brought to him, he brought me, brothers, three different people to teach me a lesson. The first person that he brought me is a man named John Mark.
John Mark.
John Mark. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
This is a brother that's in the Bible. Acts chapter 13, as he went out with the apostles. Acts chapter 15, he had already quit. And you know what happened? He came back. And when he came back, Paul said, he ain't coming with me. This guy's a failure. But you know what God did with John Mark? He made him write the book of Mark. He made Peter say, my beloved son. He made Paul say, bring Mark, he's profitable unto me. As our brother Paul was aged and in prison, he showed Mark to be faithful in his character. Then he showed me Moses. And you know, Moses was a failure, Pastor.
Yes.
He started out The scripture says he thought on the first time at age 40 that Israel would know that he would deliver them. But when he tried, he turned out to be a failure because he was trusting in himself instead of God. And he was a Christian. He already believed God. He had already forsaken Egypt, but he tried the ministry in his own strength. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm hitting this over and over again. You do this in your own strength and you'll either end up in hell or in ultimate depression. It's not possible. But God called Moses.
Amen.
And when Moses was called, even though he couldn't talk, even though he had been humbled unto the ground, even though he did not want to go, God used him. And he delivered Israel. And the Lord God told him in Exodus 3, here is the proof I called you. You will bring Israel to worship on this mountain. And he did now. And he's been with me. And the third person that he showed me is a man named Jonah. Brother Jonah was called now, but he ran in the opposite direction, just like me. And he ended up in the belly of the whale, just like me. And he cried out, just like me. And then God spat him out on dry ground of no condemnation, and he preached and he saved the city. What God told me from that, not from dreams and visions, but from his word. I don't listen to any voice but this voice. He told me, I'll be with you even though you're a failure if you trust in me. And then by Friday, he had conquered me. And you know how he conquered me? And you know what I listen for it incessantly in preaching. He forgave all my sin. He loved me so much that every failure, every mistake, every transgression, every bit of disobedience was washed away in his blood. And he should have sent me to hell instead of God.
Yes.
He could have met me at the judgment. He could have let my sin be tasted. He could have left me. He could have shown me to be a hypocrite at the day of judgment and a laughing stock. But brothers, he had mercy. And when he did that, he broke me. And I'm not a crying man by nature, but that was the first time I ever began to cry. Mm-hmm. I haven't stopped since. I remember as a man called me and I was just weeping. I was trying to go into work up until he just put it on me. I had to preach and write and read and study and preach and write and read and study. And on my way to work, I'd be weeping and I'd have to go hide behind the building. It's not to shame myself. I was just so embarrassed. But just the love of God broke me. And then he made me want to preach more than anything in this world. Until by Friday I was saying, Lord, kill me if you're not going to let me preach. Now, do you have a calling from God? The first time I went in the ministry, he called me, but I didn't get my assurance from him. I trusted my talent, but the next time, I was not going unless I was sure, unless he answered all my questions. I poured them out. I wasn't going in my weakness. And the key that he gave me is you need your daily bread. You can't look at Christ from 5 years ago and keep going. You've already fallen. You got to look at Christ today. You got to get supernatural power today that floods into your heart so you can walk with God. There's no other way to serve God. You remember Israel in the wilderness and how the manna would come every day? And if you didn't gather it, or if you over collected and said, "And tomorrow I'm not going to seek it," it was spoiled and breed worms. That's the way the Holy Spirit is with Jesus Christ. If you don't come to Him today as a sinner in your need for mercy, as incapable of living the Christian life, as unable to preach or serve God or love anybody today, unless He blesses me from this word into my heart, you will fall down. Because it's only, I'm telling you this, it is only the power of God. Everything else is just a sham. And so back to our text, verse number 14. What makes everything clear is light. Light, and therefore it said, wake up, sleeper. What Paul is doing in Ephesians 5 is he's exhorting Christians to get up and live the Christian life. To turn away from sin and ungodliness. To give your life entirely to Jesus Christ. To be sold out and committed. To live for Him alone. To be obedient to what He says. Stop slacking. Stop trying to live halfway. Stop trying to be one thing in front of people and just something slightly different in private. Wake up and be who you are in Christ. Be a zealot. Don't read missionaries and say, "Wow." Read missionaries and say, "God died for me too. How dare you love God more than me? He put away my sin. I owe Him everything. I'm going to give Him my life. I don't care if I die. He's worthy." That I can't give you. That comes from God. But the call to wake up is to repent. Repent. Put away this false religion. Repent. Do everything right. Back it up with the word. Be faithful to the death. Everything you got is to please your master. An audience of one. I hope you hear me. Because this is the truth. Because you've been sleeping. Ain't it painful? Ain't it oppressive? Fear, the guilt, the shame of God being on the other side of the world instead of near you in prayer. Wake up. Admit your sin. Just tell Him, "I haven't been faithful here. I gotta be. Help me." And rise up from the dead. That's what you've been laying in. Death. The old life, the ways of this world. Now it's religion and it's morality, it's both. It's your doctrine and your life, both. You got to be sound doctrine, you got to have a sound life, both. But get up from the dead. Now some of you are not yet even born again. Who among you does not know God? Does not know the gospel? Does not experience its power? You got to wake up and come to Jesus Christ. You can't fake it. For the devil knows you. And he'll come get you if you don't have God. Porn, adultery, lust, hatred, preeminence of self, self-seeking, idolatry, wickedness. Come out from among them. And be separate, says the Lord, and He will receive you. And this is the glory of it, and Christ will shine on you. He's saying, "Pastor, if we come to Him for real, to live a Christian life, even though we don't have any strength, He'll be our strength, and we'll see His glories in the gospel. You will see the power. you will taste the glory of the immutable, eternal Lord. And it'll be joy every day that you never know. It'll be love flowing from your heart. Back when I was in the U.S., and I'm wrapping up, but before I came, I was with another brother, and we helped to plant a church in Oakland, California. And we used to sing a song that this was his music. I didn't know any of this stuff. All I knew was the old hymns. But he's a faithful man. And he used to play a song, and it was, I give myself to you. You know the song? My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself. Is it away or is it to you? It's to you. And I would be in the back after preaching, after the Spirit would come, because he'd preach and I'd preach, and the Holy Spirit was there. And it was only about 12 people. And I'd be in the back as the music was blasting, making my missionary call. Yours. I love you so much. What can I do for you? That was my prayer in the shower. As I'm weeping tears and the water's pouring down, and I'm on my knees, I'm begging God, let me do something. Because I love you. Because as I told the kids earlier, you first love me. And that light, that shining power, is the old timers had a hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to thy blood. God forbid that I should boast, haven the cross of Christ my Lord. Here, Lord, I give myself to you. If I could give you the world, it's not enough. I just give you me." That's real. And as an old comedian in the U.S. says, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. It takes something inside of you from God to be a pastor. This is not a calling from man. You sisters that are going to go minister unto the other women and children, weep for them and yourself with joy and pleasure and mercy obtained, and go preach the gospel. They need people faithful. We need faithful women who are in their place, which is every place but the pulpit. Do everything else and serve God. Serve Him. Preach to them ladies and unto them children. Amen. This ain't enough. This ain't enough. This ain't enough. You need God. And if you get Him, you will conquer anything and everything. The brother and I were talking about slander from people who know the truth up here, but they don't have the character. Hatred of man, persecutions, troubles, poverty, not knowing as to where your money is going to come from. Stressful times don't matter if we have God. And it isn't that it doesn't hurt. It does hurt. But you got somebody greater than all your troubles. I had a time I thought I might have to leave Nigeria because of the visa, the money, some things happened. I was short, and I'm not going to ask anybody to give me anything. But you know what God enabled me to do? Pray to Him and submit my will, that even if I got to leave Africa, even if slander shuts every door in Nigeria, God cannot be stopped from saving His people. Yes. And I'm content even if He doesn't use me. Just keep going, God. When you get there, not my will, but your will be done. You have conquered in this battle. And I'm telling you, that is supernatural power. Contentment in Jesus Christ. Contentment. Who's got that? I can tell a poor person to be content. I can't tell you I can pay all your bills, but contentment in Jesus Christ, you can have that and be as happy as if you were in America. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So, rise up, awake from the dead, cash in all your chips on Christ, add it all on Him, and He will come in His mercy and grace, and He will shine with you with power. That's a missionary call. That's how I got here. That's how I keep going.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.